Hey, what's happening in San Diego? Welcome into Gwen and Chris. Very happy Thursday afternoon to you. 2:01 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. is across the country today. He is in Boston, Massachusetts. Where? What's going on, Scraby? We're having some technical difficulties?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
Yes. We're having some technical difficulties. We can't just have one day that goes smooth.
No, God forbid we should have a smooth day. Yeah, the only other time we've had any problem hooking up with Tony on the road was when the Padres were really close by. Remember, they were in Anaheim.
That's right.
We couldn't find. We couldn't find a
cell phone signal.
A cell phone signal or any kind of signal from Anaheim. But we're having some issues today in Boston, so Tony will be joining us soon. We are hanging out between now and 5 o'clock, wrapping up a wonderful homestand for the Padres, one in which they go 6-1. They've won 7 out of 8 overall. And just like that, they have jumped from 3 games under 500 to 3 games over 500. That is tied for the high water mark this season, and at 44-41, all is looking well in the world of the Padres, but is it? I think we will find out the answer to that on this upcoming road trip as the Padres start with the Red Sox tomorrow night, 3 games, and then head down to Dallas to take on the Texas Rangers, the defending World Series champs. 3 games there. And I think we have Tony now. Tony, let's just hope that this road trip goes a little better than the last one did. And they really start under similar circumstances. The last one started after back-to-back walk-off wins over the Oakland Athletics. Everyone was all excited. And then just like that, a 5-game losing streak. This time, you get the, you know, really a thrilling series win over the Nationals, sweep them. Maybe you have one of the best games of the year Tuesday night. Most exciting game for sure. And let's just hope that, you know, the same thing didn't happen on this trip that happened on the last one. How are you?
I'm well. I mean, that's the hope, right, is that they come out and they continue the wave that they have started in San Diego. You know, last time it was a 4-2 homestand. Padres went out. And I think they went what, 1-5?
Yeah, lost the first five.
Yeah, on the road trip.
And yeah.
So this is something they haven't been able to do. Whether it was going from the road to home or home to the road, maybe this can be their next step if they can put together another quality road trip, or just like they did at the homestand. You're going to be looking at, you know, 5-6 games up over 500, and that's the type of steps you want to see as the season continues to progress. They're clearly, I hesitate to say they're playing their best baseball because they have gone on stretches like this before. I guess I'll be comfortable saying it if they can put together, you know, at least a 500 road trip, right?
Yeah, lose ground on this road trip.
Right, right. Then we can say, okay, now, and then you come home and you're able to put together the same type of deal. Because you come home and it's really, this is the it's not a soft part, but it's a much easier part of the schedule for the Padres right here. You got a bunch of off days lined up, you know, today, you'll have Monday off again, you come home, and then you got 2 more off days before you even get to the break. And so this is a good time for the Padres to get on the run. And despite not having, you know, a full load of guys and some injuries, you're kind of trying to stiff arm right now. It's a good time to be having this part of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, the great news is that you know, they're having success. The concerning news is that, you know, is the other shoe going to drop? I mean, you know, we've talked about it, but can any team in baseball survive having 4 of its top 5 paid players on the injured list? I don't know that that's 100% true with the Padres, because somebody pointed out to me that Eric Hosmer is actually still one of the highest paid Padres this year. But I'm not referring to that. I'm talking about, you know, the Darvish and the Musgrove and the Bogarts and now Fernando Tatis Jr. That's 4 of your top 5 big guys, big guns, big payday guys. two pitchers, two big hitters, and I mean, this team is really, in a lot of ways, amazing me right now, and they're getting it done with contributions from everywhere. I think in certain cases, unexpected sources. I would say Profar, except he's not unexpected anymore. I mean, he's been doing it all year, and he's stayed consistent, but you certainly didn't expect Kyle Higashioka, who was hitting .128 heading into the month of June, to then all of a sudden turn into Johnny Bench. I mean, 7 home runs, 17 RBIs. Obviously, won that game yesterday almost single-handedly. Jackson Merrill has squarely placed himself in the picture for Rookie of the Year. Donovan Solano keeps coming through with big hits at the right time. I mean, this team, I don't know if you can say they're good or bad or anything yet until we, play some more. But I think we can clearly say, Tony, that this team has a good chemistry and a good ability to fight and scratch and claw. I know every team wants to say they can, they fight hard. This team, I think, actually shows it. And I think that and, the chemistry and whatever the makeup is working out. And maybe even allowing them to have a little better record than they should have at this point.
Yeah, I guess that's all that is nice. And, ultimately, we've been down this road again. Like, so I'm not going to go either way on feeling like they, because I feel like people only feel like they're overachieving now because they're 3 games over .500. I mean, otherwise, we would be haggling and talking about the same.
A week ago, they were underachieving because they were 3 games under .500.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I think the recent news in the homestand with Toddy going down is pretty fresh, right? And so we'll see how that starts to settle in on this team. The one thing you can say about this team, which you hit on, is that this team has a bunch of fighters. Like they're just not going to go away, even when it looks terrible. They continue to keep fighting, and that's indicative of them losing like 5 straight, and then coming back winning 4 or 5, and then losing 5 straight, and then coming right back and winning 5 or 6. Like, this is what they've been doing all season. But it does feel like this homestand, I don't know, coming onto this road trip, it does feel different. It feels like this is a team that, as you said, I think they just, I don't know that it's chemistry or what, but they know what they're trying to accomplish every single day. And sometimes they come up short. And they don't waver. I think we on the outside go back and forth with the emotions and this, but they don't. They're able to do what they need to do. I mean, they've had, 2 or 3 different times this year where they've lost 4 straight or 5 straight. When we think it's like, oh man, how are they going to recover from this? They come recover from it.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot to be said about some of the guys who are playing well right now. And you mentioned some of the unexpected sources. I mean, yeah, Profar is one of them. But at this point, like you said, he's no longer an unexpected source. I mean, he's the leading vote getter, for crying out loud. So I just think you start talking about guys like Matt Waldron. You start talking about guys like Adrian Mortyhone, who's throwing the ball terrific. You start the newcomers in Estrada and Merrill, and you poke guys in. Iggy Rosario comes in and all he does is hit extra base hits, right? I mean, there are nice pockets and stories kind of bubbling up everywhere, but again, it boils back down to can they carry on what we just saw at home into this road trip. Boston's playing some pretty good baseball right now. So you're certainly going to have to come to an environment that is, typically not the friendliest. But it seems like they're up for it right now. It seems like the right time to be going on the road to take on one of these trips.
Did you bring your glove with you, Tony Gwynn Jr.? I'm not asking you to play center field. I'm referring to the fact that from what I've been told in the past, the press box at Fenway Park, and this is your first broadcasting trip there, hangs right over home plate.
Oh, so we're in range, is what you're telling
me. That's what I've heard. I've never broadcast there. But
I haven't either, so I mean, yeah. We're going to find out tomorrow when we get there.
I did ask Don Orsillo about that the other night, and he said, yeah, it can be an issue, but...
I'm scared for fun. Tony now. I'm it'll scared for Dave Marcus.
No, sounds, he's not. Tony will protect
awesome.
Dave Marcus. The fun thing is that...
Hey, listen, hold on. Let me tell you
this. Wait a minute, you're ducking out of the way?
Yeah, when it comes to foul balls and there not being a ton of room to kind of maneuver, it's every man for himself.
Dave's
busy with all the
Tony
pieces
Gwynn,
of paper that he has to hand out.
Dave better get his hands up. I know that, because there won't be my hand coming up to help him.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, first trip to Fenway Park for the Padres in 13 years. That's, you know, with this balanced schedule, et cetera, I just assumed they'd played there more recently than that, but they haven't. And so that's always fun. And it's such a great ballpark to visit. And, you know, so it'll be a lot of fun this weekend. And hopefully the Padres can carry on the hot play. I want to talk a little bit at length, Tony, maybe in this next segment, about the game on Tuesday. First of all, I thought it was one of the most fun games I've been to in a long, long time. Maybe one of the most fun regular season games I've ever been to, considering it was in June. So many things to unpack from that game, but I want to come to it from the angle that a lot of people are trying to say, and I think they're saying it with hopefulness, that it's the kind of game, the kind of win, the kind of way they came together and the whole thing that can springboard a team. And as somebody who played, you know, in the major leagues, in the big leagues, you know, I think we all are hoping that this will help the Padres kick something off here, and we'll look back on that Washington game and go, yep, that was the turning point. That was the one. So I want to get your thoughts on some of that. Also, I want to ask you about this notion that the Padres don't necessarily do a great job of protecting their players. We don't throw at batters. You know, I want to argue that fact, because I thought what Manny Machado did the other night, stepping in and basically telling Ruiz to get the hell out of there, is going to go a long way. It's another example of the leadership of Manny, which doesn't get enough credit. And, of course, the home run he hit was about as timely and about as well-scripted of a home run as I think I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Coming on the very next pitch. So, you know, Tuesday night's game was great. I mean, I just had so much fun. I hope you did, too, broadcasting it.
I got to be honest. That's not an easy, like, a whole bunch of stuff happening at, like, one time is not, like, the best.
That's true.
It was hard because, you know, you get caught up and you're trying not to get caught up in what's going on down there, but you're also getting caught up in what's going on down there. And then when it's happening, like bang, 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 yeah. It just, I don't know. I felt out of sorts through like the first like six innings of that game. And then everything slowed down. It was by far the most exciting game of the year. I don't think there's very much question on that, but. Yeah, a lot to unpack there. A lot to unpack there. We'll get to that after this next break for sure. We got a lot more going on. The NBA draft is second round of the NBA draft. My Lakers might have got the steal of the draft. I'm feeling pretty good about
Tony
that.
Tony is feeling good.
And there's only and guess what, Tony? There's only about 7 or 8 picks until the Lakers come around again.
Uh-oh.
And we find out whether they take Bronny.
Well, Rich Paul apparently is telling everyone he might go to Australia now. So.
Oh, well, we'll find out. I mean, we're going to they're going to have to make a pick here in about 20 minutes. So.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But we got a lot more to get to with you guys till 5 o'clock West Coast time, 8 o'clock my time. We'll have the round table that follows us. Am I correct on that, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that was
okay.
All really all
right.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. All right, let's get to break. More Gwynn and Chris. We'll get things rolling.
All right, here we go. Segment 2. Thursday program, Gwynn and Chris. 97.3 The Fan, Tony Gwynn Jr. settled in. In Boston, Massachusetts. Can we ask what you've done with your day off, if anything, or have you just been catching up on rest?
A little bit of that. I got up at about 10:30, made my way down to the gym, rode the bike for 30 minutes, and then...
Wow. Attaboy.
Nice job.
Got myself a sandwich and some tomato soup.
Not clam chowder?
Get a little chowder. No chowder for you?
They didn't. You can't be a Boston restaurant and not have clam chowder.
That's like going to Idaho and they're out of potatoes. What do you mean?
It was a bakery, so they didn't have clam chowder. They just had the tomato soup. So
no
I
chowder.
Went with that. And I got a Rice Krispie treat that was mixed with like Fruity Pebbles. So
well, that's
that was my little treat.
You did your
and
bike
I had half of that, and it like sugar toast me to sleep. And then I got up like 20 minutes before the show. And that's why I'm still a little groggy.
I told Darren Feeney of the Padres Media Relations Department the other day, who said he was going on the trip. I told him to, on his day off, take a duck boat tour. He said he'd never done that before and highly recommend it. I don't know if you've ever taken one, Tony, but the duck boat is very cool. And Boston is maybe... the only city, to me, that's worth taking a city tour, because there is so much history, you really wouldn't believe it. So, anyway, I don't know if Darren will do that or did that, but it's a suggestion if you're really bored tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no, I don't want to deal with any water at all. So,
the duck boat does. Yes, it drives and then goes into the water.
This is the second time we've done the duck boat.
Love
thing
the duck
this
boat.
Week.
Love the duck boat. Can I tell
Chris
you?
Really Clearly, wants to
Chris
go on
is
the,
a
duck
fan
boat.
Of the duck boat.
I'm a fan, So
I am gonna. I mean, after the show though, I do plan on trying to find some seafoods around this joint.
Well, there's got to be some.
The hotbed for it.
How got to be some Boston, Mass. Yeah, are you
Fenway?
Close to Fenway, or where are you guys?
From what I gather, it's a 15-minute walk. So I.
Oh, that's nice.
You plan on walking?
Plan on doing that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So.
Just don't look any Bostonians in the eye as you're walking there. It's dangerous. I've heard.
What?
I'm just kidding, Chris.
God, you're weird. All right, NBA draft.
I know they're going to be walking on air since the Celtics won. So
I'm kidding. Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, Tony, probably best not to wear your Laker jersey downtown tomorrow.
If I had one, you know I would.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would. Speaking of the Lakers, we mentioned it. They're not on the clock yet. The Lakers have the 25th pick of the second round. Right now they're on the 15th pick of the second round. So we'll keep an eye on whether or not Bronny James joins Dad LeBron with the Lakers or whether or not somebody else selects him. Also kind of looking out for Keyshawn Johnson and maybe Jaden Ledee to get drafted in the second round. I've heard mixed reports on whether either or both of them might get drafted, so we'll keep an eye on that. But I did want to go back to the game Tuesday night, Tony, and just kind of take it in order and get some of your thoughts. We didn't get a chance to talk to you really after that game. And, as we said, it was a great night, great game, so fun to be at that game. But let me just get some of your quick thoughts. First, on Jurickson's celebration Monday night after the walk-off, was that enough so that the Washington Nationals had a right to be a little bit upset the following day, in your mind?
I think you got to go back further than that, all right? I think you got to go back for, Jurickson plays with a chip, right? And so they walked Luis Arraez intentionally to face
him. Yes.
So that already is, I'm all right. In his mind, at least, he's like, I can't repeat what he's probably saying in his mind, but it's something along the lines, all right, I'm show him, right?
Right.
And then, first pitch, he gets a ball high and tight near his head, and he gets de-cleated, basically, by the way he... fell.
By the way, that was a backflop of all backflops.
I don't think he intentionally went to fall like that, but he was in a rush to get out of the way of the baseball.
Sure.
And his feet just kind of came out from under him. So all of that played into...
Yes, it did.
...his celebration after the game. Now, the intentional walk, I mean, that's just... You're walking a dude who's won two batting titles in front of you that... it's going to be tough to get anyway. So they picked their poison. They picked Profar. So, not so much that part, but certainly the getting brushed back plays into the emotion after you come up with the hit to win the game. And so while I understand it's not necessarily normal to end up on that side of the field on a walk-off, you have to calculate, you know, that pitch was high and tight near the head, and that played into the emotion. So I get where, you know, they were coming from, but you then can't then forget about the pitch that was, whether it was intentional or not, up top like that, because that played into his reaction. So the following day, I don't have as much of an issue with Ruiz voicing his displeasure to Jerickson. Jerickson seemed to be listening and having the intent on just listening. He didn't seem to be reacting. Even as my man Ruiz was tapping him on his shoulder, he still didn't like react in like a crazy way or like pull back. I think just from watching it a few times, a few hundred times at this point.
Yeah, right.
Whatever Ruiz said or tone change that then made Manny feel like he needed to like get him out of there with the push.
Right.
I think, you know, that's what happened. I think it was going to let it ride until it got to the point where, you know, Manny felt like, all right, whatever you just said makes me think this could escalate, so get on out of here. And it kind of pushed him away. I then think there's so much that happens. I was explaining this on the air. There's so much that happens when you're in those situations. Ruiz gets pushed, and I don't know that he didn't know or didn't think that there was a bunch of dudes coming, because the way he reacted after Manny came was almost as though he thought there was a bunch of Padres already in on the field, because he reacted in a way like, I had to defend myself. Like, you could see his head come up. Like, who's next to me, right? Because in those situations, if you've never been in before, you got to have your head on a swivel, because you don't know what the intentions is of anybody, and you can't take it as though nothing's going to pop off, because that's when something can pop off, basically. And so from there, I think, you know, what tends to happen is when more people are involved, a lot more stuff can happen, right? As it was just Profar and Ruiz and Manny, you know, and nobody was moving, nobody's touched, nobody like had any crazy gestures. It wasn't until Ruiz started to seemingly get a little more hype and Manny had to discard him is when everything kind of came in. And then at that point, Ruiz saw somebody from the Padres side that he had some funk with, so he was pointing over that way. You had the Mike Shield and Davey Martinez having a few choice words about what's going on. That kind of stuff happens. It seems like all in all, everybody was more in peacemaker mode. But let's just say there had been it wasn't just a Profar Ruiz situation, right? There's that could have, you know, another skirmish could have broke off somewhere else. So, you know, it was an exciting moment. It's just so fitting that my man Jerickson just always gets the last laugh. Like
this year he does.
That's what I'm saying. I'm only talking about 2024. Like whether it's the Dodgers situation, whether it's him getting, you know, brushed off and then, you know, getting the walk off and then them getting upset and then hitting him, you know, I tend to believe that that was intentional, but you know.
Well, Davey Martinez, he basically said it after the game, and there's a question on the chat that says
he did say it. I listened to all the comments.
I know you did.
What he said was in response to Ruiz. You know, having the word.
Technically, you're right.
What he's talking about. Yeah. It'd be foolish of him to admit that.
Because he'll get suspended.
Get everybody suspended, right? So, I mean, I know he didn't say that, but now, he was responding to what Ruiz did.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, does it surprise you at all that Mackenzie Gore was the guy to do it?
Why would it have? He was ready to fight his own teammate last week. Why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he throw at somebody if he felt like it needed to be done? That dude is. I don't know if we never got to see it, but McKenzie can get. You know, he can get the red hair. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Like, He seems pretty calm here, dude. And when he felt like Senzel last week didn't, you know, dogged it to a ball, he was ready to have a confrontation with his own teammates. So, of course, if he felt like one of his teammates was disrespected or if they were disrespected, he would do it. Now, I tell you, he did the same thing every pitcher does after they hit somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, oh man, my God.
That's a Chris Smith.
I can't believe I did that. Like, oh.
I know.
What is going on with this
hand?
How
did that happen?
And then he hit him in the shin guard.
He hit him there because the manager told him to hit him there, and he didn't want to get thrown out of the game, and the umpires bought it.
When it's done right, managers don't have to say anything. It's just known. Like, there ain't no discussion. There ain't no meeting. You just know what you're supposed to do. And he did it in a way that was slick. Let's just be real. Like, he hit him in the shin, and it looked like, oh, he wasn't trying to hit him there. But, I mean, did he get anywhere close to anybody else the rest of the game? I don't think so.
No.
And he didn't even have his best command.
Yeah. Tony's right. 100%. And I want to just one last thing on that. I thought the umpires blew it. And I told Scraby yesterday, I always stick up for umpires, but I'm not sticking up for him this time. I think they should have recognized what was going on. I think they should have thrown Gore out of the game right there. If for no other reason, Tony, to try to get control of a game that could have gotten even further out of hand, and I bring that up because Ruiz did come to bat the next inning, and my question to the umpires would be this. What would they have done if Adam Mazur had turned around and hit Ruiz in the leg? Would they have said, oh, it's fine. You only hit him in the leg. No problem. Or would they have thrown Mazur out of the game? You know they would have thrown him out of the game.
See, this opens up all kinds of things. This is also how I feel about the whole sticky situation thing with the baseball, right?
Okay.
Like, it's put on the umpires to make a definitive decision on something. And there's no way to absolutely know. In the same exact way, right? You can't know whether it was just rosin and sweat versus some substance. Yet, they got to make that decision all the time. It's no different than the warnings rule. I think everybody assumes that, hey, they've been given warning, so the next hit by pitch, automatically he's got to go. It used to be once somebody got hit, the home plate umpire can make an immediate decision. But now they got to actually have a meeting.
Try to calculate it. Yeah.
There's four different voices now, and so you know, it's optics a lot of time. It really is. It becomes an optics thing, and in that situation, you could make a case that that's not where I would where that would have happened at, because that's not typically where it happens. So they elected not to eject him. I thought under the circumstances, they thought they did a decent job. I think Mike was within his rights to go out and argue that. I think every manager who was on that side would have argued the same exact thing.
Oh, yeah.
You just gave us warnings. That certainly seemed intentional to me, but ultimately it's a judgment call from the umpires.
Yeah, and as I said to everybody yesterday, they had to kick Mike Schilt out of the game because if they didn't, he would still be arguing right now and you guys would have missed the plane to Boston. So,
100%.
Yeah, they had 100%. To do that. All right, we'll have more on this sweep of the Nationals. There's still, I think, a few more things to unpack there. Also, the latest on the NBA draft, Tony's thoughts on the Lakers getting their man, Mr. Connect. Which
Connect.
Is what they're hoping he'll do from long range.
Connect!
Oh, I mean, it writes itself.
All right, it does. And that's, I didn't miss it, though, Scrabe. It was there for the taking. Gwen and Chris is underway.
542 here, 242 there. Here, Boston, there, San Diego, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scrabe. Just unpacking this sweep job the Padres put on the Nationals, who coming into that series were only a half a game behind the Padres in the wild card pacing.
Now they're three and a half back.
Lose three, get your booty spanked. Now you're three and a half on out of here. Padres coming into Boston, pretty good team playing pretty well. Chris, before we went to break, you said there was a few other things you wanted to unpack. So let's unpack.
Well, it's all from this weekend, this series. I mean, to me, it's going to be, hopefully the turning point of the season. And I mentioned it a few times yesterday and this morning on the roundtable. The Padres have been at the 500 mark 25 times different times this year.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I used that.
Did you?
I heard it.
You got that nugget
in the broadcast.
Very good.
I got that one in.
Well, you're welcome for it.
Thank you.
I brought it up this time is because I'm hoping there isn't a 26th time. You know, I hope now that they're over 500, they're just going to stay over 500 the rest of the way. But, of course, that remains to be seen. But if they do, then this National Series will certainly be looked upon as a turning point. The thing that also made it great, and I want to finish after this with the home runs that Manny and Profar hit, but what made it great is that you had the good guys, who of course are us, we're the good guys, the Padres, we're the guys with the white hats. The games were in San Diego, the fans were cheering, you know, wildly for Profar, wildly for Schilt and Machado and everybody else. But the other thing was, is there was a couple of good villains in this series, which to me ups the ante. And the number one villain in the series really wasn't Ruiz. It was actually Jesse Winker, who I don't know if you saw the clip, Tony, but got into it with a fan after the Profar walk-off Monday night. I think it was a 79-year-old gentleman.
Gentleman might be too much. Yeah, I have many questions about this.
Well, let's talk about it. The old man said, "You guys are being Bush," and Jesse Winker said, "What's your problem?" And the old man said, "Well, you know, it's Bush to throw under a guy's chin like that."
I don't know what this guy is doing.
And Jesse Winker said, "Well, what do you think? We were trying to hit him with the bases loaded and tie the game." But I don't know. Is Jesse Winker in the wrong, or is this old man got to shut up? I don't know. I mean, players got to. You can't be getting in an argument with some fan. Can you?
Of course you can. Okay, of course. Right. What more? Right. Of course you could have a good conversation with a fan.
Okay.
I'll say that I only saw the video as the argument was already taking place. So I didn't see if, like, Winker walked up to him or if he said something to Winker. I just saw the clip of Winker, for some crazy reason, trying to explain to the gentleman why they weren't throwing. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know why he was trying to explain that, but I thought it was hilarious that he said, why are you arguing with me? I'm 66. What are you, 26?
What
does that have to do with anything?
That was a great old man moment right there.
That away, old man. Well, I'm going to stick up for the old man because I'm old. But, you know, and then, you know, I did actually see it, you know, in the next day. I think Profar got retired the last out of the first inning. And as he was coming off the field, Winker had some words for him as they crossed paths. And this
if those words were, we good?
They were, you think? Yeah. I don't know.
I know how everybody wants it to be. Hey, Profar, I'm coming for you, buddy.
All right,
Nathan said that Winker also said he's 26 and he could kick his butt.
If you remember, Winker ain't the one to mess with. I don't know if you remember Winker putting the two-piece on my man in Anaheim. Was it last year?
Oh, yeah.
With that big old fisticuff.
I do.
And he gave off two clean ones. Whoever that was got knotted up pretty good.
We need an off-season fight between Jesse Winker and Tommy Pham. I just think it needs to happen. Tommy Pham needs to fight someone. Jesse Winker needs to fight someone.
In all honesty, when Profar was coming off the field, before any of the stuff popped off, he was asking Profar if we're good, because Winker was one of the guys who seemed to be upset at the celebration the night before that was on their side.
Got it. All right. Well, then Winker hit the home run anyway. And
yes, he did.
Again, I don't
hot
know.
Hot Mike.
I don't know what's going through his mind, but he did a little hippity hop around first base. Now, maybe he always does that, or maybe that was just a nod to Fernando. I'm not sure.
Well,
it didn't ingratiate him to anybody.
Well, at this point, again, emotions are high, because
yes.
I think he hit the homer after Manny hit the homer.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, so here's what he did say, though, because I turned to Dave and I look back like, yo, I hope they dumped that, because he came around home plate, and as he got to the mic that hangs right in front of the dugout, he said, I'm obviously not going to repeat, so don't panic, Scraby.
Thank you.
He said something along the lines of, let's just beat these bleepity bleeps and get up out of here.
Ah.
And it was
now
and it was
on.
Clear. It was crystal clear. And so I turned back and Dave, who was kind of grinning and kind of chuckling, and I was like, ah, man, I mean, I kind of wanted people to have been able to hear it, but I don't think that's a...
I didn't hear it, so it must have been either removed from the
dumped.
Highlight.
It got dumped.
Okay.
No, it got dumped. It got dumped. Which I think then... This, I think, then had kind of messed up the kind of broadcast a little bit when we dumped it in the live. Whatever.
It took a while.
But anyway,
to get
it ended up working itself out.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
All right. But my whole point of this was that Jesse Winker played a good bad guy, and that's good because it made the series even better.
Did.
It made it better.
I thought the Padre fans did it great. I thought they answered the call. Keyberts. First at bat, after all of the thing, they booed the mess out of him. I was just, yeah. They was ready. They was ready for it.
Well, the thing with the old man, I'm sorry to keep calling him old man. I don't know his name. But
he's not that much older than me, so maybe, you know, you ought to just cool it.
Would you want to take on Jesse Winker?
How about the gentleman?
Okay, the gentleman.
Well, listen, Jesse's smart enough to know what he can't do. He definitely can't go into the stands. So, I think you can have the conversation, but, you know, the moment you grab that railing and pull yourself up, you're completely out.
He grabbed the railing. Luckily, he didn't go any further.
Here's the thing. I'm not someone who likes to make myself the center of attention at all. Jesse Winker should have never gone there. But it's like, I don't know that I would be sitting there fighting with a player.
This herein lies the world that we live in now because of social media. There is the fear of things have kind of like moved away.
Not
you know
for
what I'm
me.
Saying? Well, I mean, that's why you survive very well. I'm just saying. Most of us would be like, yeah, I don't want, as he came closer, our smoke would lessen, right? We wouldn't be like still pressing the issue. But I think most people, a lot of people now, they don't have that fear of things. Like, he just was comfortable that Winker wasn't going to climb the railing. There was a time where you couldn't necessarily be that comfortable. Dudes didn't quite have all of their scruples together and be able to know, you know what, this is not a good idea.
At least he didn't go Anthony Rendon, I will say. I mean, you should, Jesse Winker, in the whole thing, in my opinion, it's on him because he's the player. He's got to turn around and walk away.
Ultimately, it's not even a real thing. Like, I mean, nobody got in trouble. His team took the L. I mean, there's nothing other than it being on social media and we just talking about it. I mean, it was no consequences to any of it, ultimately.
They're saying that they did hear it, by the way.
Kicking their tail.
Some people did hear it on MLB.
Oh, they did hear it?
Yes.
On the MBL feed.
MLB feed. They heard Jesse Winker, and apparently you could kind of hear it on the TV call, too. So there's places to go hear it.
That's what I'm saying, dog. It was clear. Like, I heard, like,
verbatim.
Well,
since they heard it, Tony, go ahead and say it, then, so we know what he said. Leave it up to Scraby to bleep it. I want to hear it now.
Yeah, don't do that.
Scraby would turn a stop sign if I did that right now.
I kind of think it's a little lame that we can't play that. I
feel the same way because it really allows you to feel like the emotion when all that stuff is happening, right? You would have turned, everybody who heard it would have at least had like a little grin, like, oh, okay, this is going to be something tonight. Yeah. We're going to have ourselves a good one. And we did.
Yeah, we did. Manny's,
now, I wish the mic on the Padres side caught that kind of stuff. They don't ever catch that kind of stuff. It's usually only on the business side. So we need the same mics.
Was Manny's home run about the most perfect timing for a home run you think you've ever seen? I mean, is there? I mean, other than the bottom of the ninth of a World Series, but yeah, that was the.
No, this is even better because it was even better, you think?
Yeah.
It was literally the next pitch he threw. Like, you're going to hit my boy? Oh, I got you. Pop!
That was incredible.
And you know what's so crazy is we, I think Jesse and I were so, like, caught up in what was happening. I thought that ball was going to hit the scoreboard. I really did.
Right? He said the same thing, yeah. Jesse did. From where your angle, that's what it looked like.
I thought it was headed for, you know, second deck at least, and then it went like four rows over the wall and left.
Nah.
It had the same effect. It didn't really matter how far it went in this situation because of what had just transpired. But man, that was a fun weekend. I mean, even the first game that you know, it's just it all was just a good series for the Padres.
Well, Manny's home run, I will say this, it tested the rule that you're not allowed to cheer in the press box. Because, I mean, I was in the press box, and it was tough not to jump up and go, oh, my God, that was awesome. Because it just was. You didn't have to, like, be rooting for anybody, you know, but it just was. I mean, the fact that he was able to do that. And, of course, I mean, you know, I almost expected Profar to hit the Grand Slam the way his year is going.
Yeah.
By the time he came up, I'm like, 100%. Forget it. He's going to hook one down the line, and of course he did. All right. What a week it was. Padres take out the Nats. And
you know what? The other thing that's, I think, you know, we've been talking about the Pods and being able to sustain this while, you know, as you said, the big four. Well, I think the one thing that's happened that has allowed this, right, is when Manny kind of went down and Bogey went down, Toddy got hot, right? And the offense was able to kind of sustain it because he was blazing hot. Now it feels like Manny's starting to do the same thing as Toddy is going to be down for a little bit. And so that's, you know, this offense has yet to have everybody on hitting on full cylinders. And they won't have it for a while, at least until after the All-Star break with everybody. But it's nice to see Manny look like his legs are under him. Look like the ball is just look like he's starting to be Manny.
One thing to circle on your calendar, by the way. Once the All-Star break is over, the Padres go to Cleveland, and then they go to Washington, D.C.
So, yeah, I know they tried to. I know they tried to keep Keybert out of that last game. You know, there's three more to come in Washington. So stay tuned. Let's get to break.
Tuned.
4 o'clock hour on the way. A little Daily Gambit. More Gwyn and Chris. 542 here, 242 there. Here, Boston, there, San Diego, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Just unpacking this sweep job the Padres put on the Nationals, who coming into that series were only a half a game behind the Padres in the wild card pacing.
Now they're
3.5,
yeah. Yeah, we'll see you later.
Lose three, get your booty spanked. Now you're 3.5 on out of here. Padres coming into Boston, pretty good team playing pretty well. Chris, before we went to break, you said there was a few other things you wanted to unpack. So let's unpack.
Well, it's all from this weekend, this series. I mean, to me, it's going to be, you know, hopefully the turning point of the season. I mentioned it a few times yesterday and this morning on the roundtable. The Padres have been at the 500 mark 25 times different times this year.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I used that.
Did you?
I heard it.
You got that nugget
in the broadcast.
Very good.
I got that one in.
Well, you're welcome for it.
Thank you very much.
I brought it up this time is because I'm hoping there isn't a 26th time. You know, I hope now that they're over 500, they're just going to stay over 500 the rest of the way. But, of course, that remains to be seen. But if they do, then this national series will certainly be looked upon as a turning point. The thing that also made it great, and I want to finish after this with the home runs that Manny and Profar hit, but what made it great is that you had the good guys, who of course are us. We're the good guys, the Padres. We're the guys with the white hats. The games were in San Diego. The fans were cheering, you know, wildly for Profar, wildly for Schilt and Machado and everybody else. But the other thing was, is there was a couple of good villains in this series, which to me ups the ante. And the number one villain in the series really wasn't Ruiz. It was actually Jesse Winker, who I don't know if you saw the clip, Tony, but got into it with a fan after the Profar walk-off Monday night. I think it was a 79-year-old gentleman. Or
I have many questions.
Gentlemen might be too much.
Yeah, I've got many questions about this.
Well, let's talk about it. The old man said, "You guys are being Bush," and Jesse Winker said, "What's your problem?" And the old man said, "Well, you know, it's Bush to throw under a guy's chin like that."
I don't know what this guy is doing.
And Jesse Winker said, "Well, what do you think? We were trying to hit him with the bases loaded and tie the game." But I don't know. Is Jesse Winker in the wrong, or is this old man got to shut up? I don't know. I mean, players got to be getting in an argument with some fan. Can you?
Of course you can. Okay, of course.
Right.
What in the world? Right. Of course you could have a good conversation with the Fed.
Okay.
I'll say that I only saw the video as the argument was already taking place. So I didn't see if, like, Uyghur walked up to him or if he said something to Uyghur. I just saw the clip of Uyghur, for some crazy reason, trying to explain to the gentleman why they weren't throwing. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know why he was trying to explain that, but I thought it was hilarious that he said, why are you arguing with me? I'm 66. What are you, 26?
So you arguing with me?
What does that have to do with anything?
That was a great old man moment right there.
That away, old man. Well, I'm going to stick up for the old man because I'm old. But, you know, and then, you know, I did actually see it, you know, in the next day. I think Profar got retired the last out of the first inning. And as he was coming off the field, Winker had some words for him as they crossed paths. Now, this was before.
If those words were, we good? We good?
They were, you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Go all back right. And look at it. I know how everybody wants it to be. Hey, Profar, I'm coming for you, buddy.
All right.
Nathan said that Winker also said he's 26 and he could kick his butt.
If you remember, hey, Uyghur ain't the one to mess with. I don't know if you remember Uyghur putting the two-piece on my man in Anaheim. Was it last year?
Oh, yeah.
With that big old fisticuff.
I do.
And he gave off two clean ones. Whoever that was got knotted up pretty good.
We need an off-season fight between Jesse Uyghur and Tommy Pham. I just think it needs to happen. Tommy Pham needs to fight someone. Jesse Uyghur needs to fight someone.
In all honesty, when Profar was coming off the field, before any of the stuff popped off, he was asking Profar if we're good, because Uyghur was one of the guys who seemed to be upset at the celebration the night before that was on their side.
Got it. All right. Well, then Uyghur hit the home run anyway. And
yes, he did.
Again, I don't
hot
know.
Hot mic.
I don't know what's going through his mind, but he did a little hippity hop around first base. Now, maybe he always does that. Or maybe that was just a nod to Fernando. I'm not sure.
Well,
it didn't ingratiate him to anybody.
Well, at this point, again, emotions are high, because I think he hit the homer after Manny hit the homer.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so here's what he did say, though, because I turned to Dave and I look back like, yo, I hope they dumped that, because he came around home plate. And as he got to the mic that hangs right in front of the dugout, he said, I'm obviously not going to repeat it, so don't panic, Scraby.
Thank you.
He said something along the lines of, let's just beat these bleepity bleeps and get up out of here.
Ah.
And it was
now,
and it was
on.
Clear. It was crystal clear. And so I turned back, and Dave, who was kind of grinning and kind of chuckling, and I was like, ah, man, I mean, I kind of want people to have been able to hear it, but I don't think that's a...
I didn't hear it, so it must have been either removed from the highlight.
It got dumped.
Okay.
No, it got dumped. It got dumped. Which I think then had kind of messed up the kind of broadcast a little bit when we dumped it in the live, whatever.
It took a while.
But either way, it ended up working itself out.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
All right, but my whole point of this was that Jesse Uyghur played a good bad guy, and that's good because it made the series even better. It made it better.
I thought the Padre fans did it great. I thought they answered the call. Keybert's first at bat after all of the thing, they booed the mess out of him. And I was just, yeah. They was ready. They was ready for it.
Well, the thing with the old man, I'm sorry to keep calling him old man, I don't know his name, but
he's not that much older than me, so maybe, you know, you ought to just cool it.
Would you want to take on Jesse Uyghur?
How about the gentleman?
Okay, the gentleman.
Well, listen, Jesse's smart enough to know what he can't do, he definitely can't go into the stands. So, I think, you know, you can have the conversation, but, you know, the moment you grab that railing and pull yourself up, you're completely
out. He grabbed the railing. Luckily, he didn't go any further.
Here's the thing. I'm not someone who likes to make myself the center of attention at all. Jesse Uyghur should have never gone there. But it's like, I don't know that I would be sitting there fighting with a player.
This herein lies the world that we live in now because of social media. There is the fear of things have kind of like moved away.
Not for me.
that's why you survive very well. I'm just saying. Most of us would be like, yeah, I don't want. As he came closer, our smoke would lessen, right? We wouldn't be like still pressing the issue. But I think most people, a lot of people now, they don't have that fear of things. Like, he just was comfortable that Winker wasn't going to climb the railing. There was a time where you couldn't necessarily be that comfortable. Dudes didn't quite have all of their scruples together and be able to know, you know what, this is not a good idea.
At least he didn't go Anthony Rendon, I will say. I mean, you should, Jesse Winker, in the whole thing, in my opinion, it's on him because he's the player. He's got to turn around and walk away.
Ultimately, it's not even a real thing. Like, I mean, nobody got in trouble. His team took the L. I mean, there's nothing other than it being on social media and we just talking about it. I mean, it was no consequences to any of it, ultimately.
They're saying that they did hear it, by the way.
Kicking their tail.
They're Some people did hear it. On MLB.
Oh, they did hear it?
Yes.
On the MBL feed.
MLB feed. They heard Jesse Winker, and apparently you could kind of hear it on the TV call, too. So there's places to go hear
that's
it.
What I'm saying, dog. It was, I mean, it was clear. Like, I heard, like,
well, since they heard it, Tony, go ahead and say it, then, so we know what he said. Leave it up to Scraby to bleep it. I want to hear it now.
Yeah, don't do
Scraby
that.
Scraby would turn a stop sign if I did that right now.
I kind of think it's a little lame that we can't play that. Because I think broadcasting sports is different.
I feel the same way because it really allows you to feel like the emotion when all that stuff is happening, right? You would have turned. Everybody who heard it would have at least had like a little grin, like, oh, okay, this is going to be something tonight. Yeah. We're going to have ourselves a good one, and we did.
Yeah, we did. Manny's,
now, I wish the mic on the Padres side caught that kind of stuff. They don't ever catch that kind of stuff. It's usually only on the business side. So we need the same mics.
Was Manny's home run about the most perfect timing for a home run you think you've ever seen? I mean, other than the bottom of the ninth of a World Series, but yeah, that was the...
No, this is even better, because literally the next pitch he threw. Like, you're going to hit my boy? Oh, I got you. Bop!
That was incredible.
And you know what's so crazy is we... I think Jesse and I were so, like, caught up in what was happening. I thought that ball was going to hit the scoreboard. I really did.
Right? He said the same thing, yeah. Jesse did. From where your angle, that's what it looked like.
I thought it was headed for, you know, second deck at least, and then it went like four rows over the wall and left.
Nah.
It had the same effect. It didn't really matter how far it went in this situation because of what had just transpired. But man, that was a fun weekend. I mean, even the first game that you know, it's just. It all was just a good series for the Padres.
Well, Manny's home run, I will say this, it tested the rule that you're not allowed to cheer in the press box. Because, I mean, I was in the press box, and it was tough not to jump up and go, oh, my God, that was awesome. Because it just was. You didn't have to, like, be rooting for anybody, you know, but it just was. I mean, the fact that he was able to do that. And, of course, I mean, you know, I almost expected Profar to hit the Grand Slam the way his year is going.
Yeah.
By the time he came up, I'm like, 100%. Forget it. He's going to hook one down the line, and, of course, he did. All right. What a week it was. Padres take out the Nats. And
you know what? The other thing that's, I think, you know, we've been talking about the pods and being able to sustain this while, you know, as you said, the big four. Well, I think the one thing that's happened that has allowed this, right, is when Manny kind of went down and Bogey went down, Toddy got hot, right? And the offense was able to kind of sustain it because he was blazing hot. Now it feels like Manny's starting to do the same thing as Toddy is going to be down for a little bit. And so, that's, you know, this offense has yet to have everybody on hitting on full cylinders, and they won't have it for a while, at least until after the All-Star break with everybody. But it's nice to see Manny look like his legs are under him, look like the ball is just like starting to be Manny.
One thing to circle on your calendar, by the way, once the All-Star break is over, the Padres go to Cleveland, and then they go to Washington, D.C.
So, yeah, I know they tried to keep Keybert out of that last game. I had, you know, there's three more to come in Washington, so stay tuned.
Let's get to break.
4 o'clock hour on the way. A little Daily Gambit. More Gwen and Chris.